We are here now with legendary air show announcer Gordon Bowman Jones and
Frank Mockrow.
Frank Mockrow. Australia's got a lot of, compared to the U.S., probably the next big flying mecca.
Yes. A lot of people fly. The sheep got a little tired a while ago, so they've taken to airplanes now. And it's really been a tremendous success.
They haven't met after Bernerel.
The air show attracts between 250 and 300,000 people, held every 2 years. It is the largest aviation event in the Southern Hemisphere, and it is absolutely huge. And Frank's official position is group manager for displays, and that includes all the flying and static displays that take place throughout the week of the Australian International Air Show, which, incidentally, those of you out there that were thinking it started about the 21st of March, you're wrong. It's moved forward now. We are now have brand new dates, March 10th through the 15th. So those are the new days of the air show.
And is that what it's called, the Australian International Air Show?
Exactly. And you'll find it on the net at airshows.com.au.
And for those of you out there being, you know, radio, you couldn't see that Frank was nodding.
Yes, exactly. That was a very noisy nod. Frank, why don't you tell us a little bit about the evolution of the Australian International Air Show, because you've been with it from day one.
Thanks, Gordon. Not quite day one. It actually started off in with local air shows around near Sydney in about 1976. I guess the first major air show was our bicentenary in 1988, when it held a major air show at the RAAF base at Richmond, which is just outside Sydney. And from there, it was actually one of our only air shows that made a bit of money. So we put that into a formed a foundation, and from that we've gone on and held the Australian International Air Show every 2 years. Currently, as Gordon mentioned, it's held at Avalon, and Avalon is a large 10,000 and a bit foot runway, located about a 45-minute drive southwest of Melbourne, and it's held every March in the odd years. So as Gordon correctly said, the dates have changed to the 10th to the 15th of March in 2009.
One of the things that I enjoy doing here is I act as an agent in the United States for the Australian International Air Show, and one of the reasons Frank is here to take a look at some of the great talent that's available at air shows in the United States. And we regularly include three or four or five, sometimes, major acts from the United States. A lot of people have been there and flown in Australia. It only takes them a little while to get used to flying upside down all the time, because most of them are aerobatic competent anyway. But we've had some great acts down there in Australia, and they're always looking for the cutting edge. They're always looking for something that's brand new that they can take down there for the massive crowds that come.
Sounds like a lot of fun. Gordon, what are the differences? You do a lot of air shows in the United States. Are there any major differences between doing that show in Australia and any show here in the United States?
Yes. One of the reasons that the Australian International Air Show is so profitable and does so well is partly in fact that there is government grants that are given to the air show, which assist them to put on the event. And they have seen their return in form of increased tourism and increased spending in the state of Victoria, which is the state where the event is held. But secondly, when you look at the VIP facilities, the chalets as such that you would normally find at an air show here, you'll find it's very different. They're all carpeted. Most of them have chandeliers, if I'm not mistaken. Everything is glassware. The catering is all professionally done. And the admittance into the gold stand or gold area will cost you somewhere in the region of $300 to $450 a week for the week. And so the place to put your bottom, your allotted 14 inches, is going to cost you about $450, but the value is there. The value is returned in spades. And if we were to incur the type of corporate support that they enjoy in Australia with that air show and many others that I do overseas into U.S. air shows, it would really make a difference.
And that's U.S. dollars that we're talking about.
Exactly, yeah. Well, now the U.S. dollar and the Australian dollar are almost on
just
parity.
About, but just about equal.
Exactly.
Sounds like a great place to be.
Makes it easy.
Yeah, and plus the fact that if anybody from the U.S. does go down there, you're not going to have much trouble with the language at all, which is another plus.
Oh, I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't say that.
I don't speak fluent Australian. I'm sorry. I'd be the weird one in the crowd down there. I'm sure you've had some hysterical things happen to you on the announcer stand.
Boy, not a whole lot of them I can talk about, though.
That is the problem.
That is one of the problems.
I remember one particular story. It was after the show was over. I don't know what it was, but you had said something that the fan hit something that we can't discuss on the air. And
that's what I told you.
Yeah. I believe it did hit the fan that day, or the fan hit it that day, too.
Although there are a couple of things that I recall that were quite hilarious that happened to me at air shows. One of the things I wanted Frank to stress, particularly about the Australian International Air Show, was the budget that they have to work with. It's a very unusual venue in that everything that goes into Avalon is literally brought in. The actual facilities are on site. They don't even have large hangars for displays. And as I mentioned before, it's a full-scale trade show along the lines of Paris and Farnborough, and has the largest exhibitors in the world, from Boeing, from Lockheed, from all of the major aerospace manufacturers around the world, and in the Eastern Bloc also. But they have to import every last stick, every last stand, every last piece of equipment, including all the air conditioning and everything in, which they do actually from Spain. You might want to talk about that a little, Frank.
Yes, Gordon. Avalon is a bare base as far as the air show is concerned, and we do bring in everything. The exhibition is currently clear span structures. They are fully air conditioned, they're floored, they're powered, and it covers an area of approximately 14,000 square meters, which is quite a large structure. In addition to that, we have a number of other structures outside we put up for external displays. We put up a full chalet line, air-conditioned, floored, and the little chandeliers that we hang from the roof.
Absolutely.
And that has glassed areas out the front as a, dare I say, a beer garden, but of course, naturally, it's soft drinks only consumed. And we bring in enough generators to power a town or a city of about 100,000 people. So it's a fairly large exercise. That actually starts around about early December for the show in March, but it's all pulled down much quicker and it's all gone. And we also, as far as aircraft are concerned, we're certainly nowhere near the size of Oshkosh, but for us, with very little tarmac area, we bring in about 500 aircraft up to the size of, we've had the Beluga, which is the Airbus equivalent of the Dreamlifter. So we can fit the aircraft in, but not all at once.
Yeah.
The U.S. military also support the show very heavily. They've brought in many, many different types of equipment. The C-5 has made almost every 2 years. A C-5 has come in. There's a big scrap between them, who's going to go. But they love coming in. We've had F-16s come in and do demonstrations. Met much of the U.S. military. And expecting the same again this year.
Yeah, I don't think they really avoid many opportunities to go ahead and take those out and fly them when they can.
Exactly, exactly. But it is a diplomatic challenge because the conditions change continually, and Frank will attest to that. That's one of his jobs.
It certainly is. As Gordon says, we get a lot of support from the U.S. military, and we have ever since the air show started in Australia. One of the problems, of course, is we are always at the last minute subject to operational requirements, and just depending on where the hotspots are at that particular time depends on what comes down. One of our biggest problems is getting the US military to leave again. They invariably enjoy themselves so much down there, and one or two of them find a lady friend, I believe. And it's amazing the number of aircraft that have an unserviceability on the last day of the air show.
They break every time. I don't know what it is. It's either boomerangs that get thrown at them or something like that, but they have a terrible maintenance record on the last couple of days of the show.
Well, that's typical. You know, they must like the Foster's beer or something like that, guys. Anyway, we got to take a break here. You're listening to me, Fast Eddie, and
Magneto Mel.
We're on EAA Radio.